know, I just fell down. I blacked out, fell down. And when I woke up, it's a pool of blood on the floor. Pretty sure my nose is broken, but.
All of that occurred away from the action, and Gene Katie just a little upset with what's happened so far.
Robinson around Ostertag.
Down again is Jawan Johnson, 3 for 3 from the field.
You're listening to the Purdue Basketball Beat, a part of the Boiled Sports Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Purdue Basketball Beat. We're down a member today. It's just me and Anish.
We're injured today. We're pulling through. Next man up.
Next man up.
That's right.
But we're here, so you should be here too, listening to us. By the way, special shout out to one of our listeners / watchers, and that would be my mother, who who does not care about Purdue basketball, Purdue in general, or sports for the most part, but who watches us and listens to us religiously. So,
see, your mom likes us more than my parents.
We used to make jokes about how the only people who paid attention were our parents. Turns out that might be uncomfortably close to reality.
Hey man, we're getting a few ratings in the old iTunes, so keep doing that. We like you guys. Thank you. We're getting some love.
Very gracious of you.
Actually, you're all fair weather fans. You only started listening after Purdue. You're all.
You know what? We bring on Brian Neuber, and then all of a sudden, y'all come out of the woodwork. He's not coming back. We can't get him back. He refuses.
We can't. He hates us now. He actually he actively hates us. Yes.
That's not true. Brian, we love you. Please come back on our show.
Please, we liked it. That was nice. Speaking of things that are nice, Purdue
football.
Well, I was gonna talk about Star Wars, but no.
Star Wars. I'll talk about Star Wars. My favorite fan theory, starting from number 10.
That's right. Okay, wait, no. Quit like 10 seconds. What is the best Star Wars
movie, book, comic book, toy,
movie?
Well, come on, that's a stupid
answer thing. The question.
It's obviously Empire Strikes Back.
You are correct. What is the worst?
Oh, it's The Phantom Menace.
Wrong. See, that's where people are wrong. The worst one is number 2, The Attack of the Clones. So terrible. Actively bad movie. Yes. Such a bad movie.
Yeah, but Phantom Menace was worse. It's not even close. Why are we having this conversation?
I went to high school with Jake Lloyd, the kid, like young Anakin.
I feel bad for him. Yeah. He's got some personal problems now. But he was set up to fail.
Yeah, he was. He didn't have the most normal of childhood, so there's that. No,
so I will say this. There's a version of the prequels floating around the internet that I've acquired that someone re-edited the 3 movies down to 1 movie. 2.5 hours long.
It's like The Hobbit.
Yeah, yeah. And about 85% of Phantom Menace is cut out. You never see young Anakin.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, to the story, it doesn't matter at all. Like, the pod racing and shit, like, it doesn't matter
at all. That was terrible. How can you defend that movie?
Number 2, I can't do Hayden Christensen. I really just can't do Hayden Christensen at all. Like,
yeah, he's really bad at acting. He's bad at acting.
I can do Ewan McGregor because he's gorgeous. But that's beside the point.
Yeah, well, you know, a pretty face will get you pretty far.
That's true. Speaking of pretty faces, AJ Hammons. We're
bringing it back. AJ Hammons,
pretty face. He's got a pretty face. He's got a nice smile. I love it.
He's got a nice smile. I don't know. He just seems like a nice guy. I don't know.
I'm Team AJ forever, man. I'm so hard to AJ.
Does Vince Edwards know you're cheating on him with his teammate?
Well, I invented
should the Vince I, Should Edwards I just man. Call you Tony Parker? No, wait. He called you Brent Berry's wife.
I was going to say, who's Brent Berry in this situation?
Vince Edwards is Brent Berry. AJ Hammons is Tony Parker, and you are Brent Berry's wife.
I like this situation.
By the way, one of my favorite like situations in professional sports, that right there.
I don't know, but like
from a rubbernecking standpoint.
Yeah.
Like, you can't write shit like that. That was amazing.
But it didn't cause the spur. It caused him like half a year of a hiccup. And like,
well, yeah, because Brent Barry, I mean, he didn't sleep with Tim Duncan's wife.
I mean,
the little Frenchman only got around to the ninth guy off the bench.
But Brent Barry was a good like contributor, and now he's on NBA TV and he doesn't like have any ill will. Like, it's so weird. Like, the Spurs have this weird chemistry thing going. Like, I don't understand it.
I think if your wife cheats on you with your teammate, maybe you reach like a new level of zen, because nothing else becomes comprehensible at that point.
I mean, like, he got two rings out of it, didn't he?
That's true.
Hey, listen, count the rings.
He lost half his stuff.
he's got more rings than Charles Barkley, and they both work for the same network. So, hey.
Charles has rings.
He's got chin rings. Chin rings. Oh, man.
I love Charles.
He said the show's gotten less fun over the years, but I like that show. It's good. They have a good time. I was just watching him tonight, Cleveland, Oklahoma City, and always great matchup of stand-up basketball talent. We are way off track here. We're completely off track.
We're bringing it back. Let's, because there's nothing to talk about with Purdue basketball, because the team is just flat out good. Not a lot of drama.
And so, okay. Are they? So, okay. They are number 8 in the coaches poll, number 9 in AP, which is generally more thought of as the better poll. They're one of a handful of undefeated teams left. And unless I am mistaken, only Purdue and Michigan State have 11 wins. And Michigan State is undefeated. They're the number 1 team in the country. We've seen every game, basically, every minute of Purdue. Are they the 8th, 9th best team in the country? Or is it just people losing and Purdue's got an easy schedule?
A little from column A. I think it's very fair to say.
A whole lot of column B. I'm sorry.
I think it's fair to say that Purdue has not really been tested in the same way that their peers in the top 15 have.
I think so. I mean, like, even you look one spot below, Xavier just blew the doors off of Cincinnati.
Man, Xavier is.
Listen, so my brother goes to Xavier, and like, we were having this thing. He grew up a Purdue fan too. Like, we all grew up Purdue fans. So he watches a lot of Purdue, and he thinks Purdue is like.
Is he subscribed to the podcast?
I don't know. He's
his brother. Are you subscribed to the podcast?
He's a jerk. He doesn't know. But like, we were both kind of in agreement that Purdue's pretty clearly better than Xavier. But like, all you can do is watch. Like, you know, all you can do is play the games in front of you, right? And Xavier has looked more impressive than Purdue has. And that's saying something. That's not saying Purdue hasn't looked impressive. We will go into all of the details of how impressive Purdue's looked. But man, like, teams like Xavier, Michigan State, I don't think has looked quite dominant at times. But, you know, Oklahoma is another one.
Not working? You say that Michigan State has not looked dominant?
No. So number one of the team, like undisputed number one of the team, number one of the country, dominant. I think they've looked better than us. That's no doubt.
Man, I don't know. Have you been watching two different teams?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I am just resistant. I don't understand how this team is that good. I don't understand how Denzel Valentine has been putting up the insane numbers that he's been doing. They've been tested. I mean, like, there's no doubt they've played how many top 10 teams? 2 and beaten both of them. This is Tom Izzo's not bad at his job. Is there a chance that Michigan State wins both titles this year?
Both as in the Big Ten?
No. Like the college football and the national title.
Oh, man.
Yeah, basically.
That would suck, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it really would. Because they're inherently, that job shouldn't be better than Purdue is, right? Like that decision, but they have probably the best 1-2 football basketball coaching combination in the country.
They've also heavily invested in sports over the last 10 years.
That's true. That's, I guess that's an issue for the handsome hour. But yeah,
somewhere doubt is crying. they've done well.
But I think that I think that there are few teams that look, maybe 9 is a good spot for us, because there are a solid tier of teams that have looked better than Purdue and have had more challenging schedules than Purdue. But then again, you play the teams that are in front of you. The Purdue's non-conference should have been better than it turned out to be. I think, you know, the games like Florida probably looked a lot better when they scheduled it, like in that tournament, than it appeared. Pitt, we kind of hit Pitt on a down year. Winning at Pitt is still an impressive win, but usually that Pitt team is a lot better. Well, the New Mexico game, I think you were right. The New Mexico game is going to look really good. The New Mexico game or the Pitt game might be are like one of the better non-conference games of the season. But still, those aren't, I don't know, those leave me with like a, when people omit Purdue from these certain discussions, I can't really back it up with anything like tangible from the schedule. You know, it's all feelings, right? It's all Homer.
It's all Homer at this point. And anyone who like sees something online that someone nationally writes about how Purdue isn't tested yet, or doesn't Purdue in like the Final Four conversation. I'm not talking about like some hack from some shitty blog network. I'm talking about like the national folks, you know, when
the people
they
that matter, that have an audience,
people that matter, that have Purdue in that second tier. I don't think you can really get butthurt about that yet, because Purdue has not been tested in the same way that those teams have. But the thing that I'm most happy about with this team is that they made it pretty much out of the non-con. We got 2 games left in the non-con, and against quality teams, which means that Purdue has made it out of the non-con without any bad losses.
So I'm flipping through last year's schedule, and man, what a disaster that was.
That killed Purdue, right? Because then, you know, you're kind of locked into the 8-9 game, right? And you got to play Kentucky.
8-9 is the worst spot to be. Yeah. I mean, like 8-9 is really the worst spot to be. So last year was Gardner Webb was just unforgivable. Vanderbilt less so. I actually thought Vanderbilt was a good team last year, and not many people counted that as a good loss, but whatever. North Florida, disaster. And Kansas State, not as well at the time, it wasn't as bad of a loss, but it turned out, like hindsight turned that into kind of a brutal loss. The year before, we had that Washington State game. You remember playing the game? It was the game the day after we played Marcus Smart's Oklahoma State, and kind of hung with them for like 3/4 of the game.
Was that the game that like Ronnie Johnson got like ejected or
that
something?
Jay Simpson got ejected. For an elbow, I think a high elbow.
That was an intense game.
Butler was another loss, and that year Butler wasn't great. Butler was a bad loss. That was the last time Butler played Purdue. Purdue played Butler in the Crossroads Classic. But that was it. And then, you know, you get into and then the year before, that was the first year that we saw some of these disastrous non-conference losses, like Eastern Michigan.
Yeah.
47-44, good Lord, in 2012. That was bad. So avoiding some of these losses without playing a good chunk of them, like 4 games without Ray Davis, that's an accomplishment, you know. And to be able to post defensive numbers that may look better than they appear without Ray Davis, super impressive, really impressive.
Yeah. So the team is sort of healthy, right?
For the most part, yeah.
for the most part, and looking pretty good. I think they can beat both Butler and Vanderbilt, but it is definitely going to be a challenge. And then Wisconsin, I don't know. Things are kind of there's an opportunity for Purdue to put up a really impressive regular season record.
So here's the thing. Up till now we've played a lackluster non-conference season, but ending the non-con with Butler Vandy and then going straight into a Kohl Center matchup with Wisconsin, regardless of whatever state Wisconsin's in, with the program, I think going 3-for-3, I think what did we predict? Like that was a borderline top five team at that point.
Yeah.
Do you think we go 3-for-3? We can go a little more into detail on each one, but do you think we go 3-for-3?
I bet we drop one.
I think we drop one too, and I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. Those are all impressive teams. Like even Wisconsin, I understand. There would be a little bit of trepidation, but they're under new management. And there might be a little bit of an emotional roller coaster or whatever that might be propelling them a little bit further than they might be. What do you think of that, by the way? The maneuver that Bo Ryan pulled to get his chosen successor.
I love it.
Yeah, me too. He's such a Grinch.
Yeah, I've heard that he's really funny and very personable and a well liked guy. But I love the move. I don't care. Like, the AD got screwed over a little bit. I'm not really going to cry over something like that.
You think they have a shot at Tony Bennett?
No. Come on. No.
Legend. No. His dad was the guy that put Wisconsin basketball on the map. He started really off there.
Overestimate stuff like that.
I mean, just saying. They have real connections, and if he wanted the job, like that's the thing, is that does he want?
Why would he want the job? Why would he take that job?
Does he want one of those blue blood jobs in college, or does he want to go to the NBA?
He stays at UVA for the next 5 years.
Why I don't? I mean, like that. That's the thing. Like, if the answer is no, he doesn't want one of those higher blue blood jobs, then maybe UVA is perfect. It's an ACC school. It's kind of a underrated spot for recruiting, especially if you got that kind of system that they have, that Bennett has.
There's no way he would go to Wisconsin. I can't see why he would do something like that. Bo Ryan has been successful at Wisconsin for the same reasons that Wisconsin football has been successful, which is they have got a very particular system and a very targeted recruiting approach where they get very local players who play a certain way and plug them into the system.
I mean, you could say the same thing for Virginia basketball. I mean, like the little pack line defense that Bennett's pack line defense.
Bennett's there, he's got it established. The machine is built at UVA for him to continue to be successful. Going to Wisconsin is a rebuild. You'd have to recruit new, different players, implement a new system. It's a big undertaking. For a job that's not really doesn't have the same national cachet as a Duke or a North Carolina.
Sure. UVA is definitely, I think, on par with Virginia, with Wisconsin. Like UVA and Wisconsin are very comparable jobs in each conference, I think.
I don't know. Barry Alvarez made Wisconsin football, and Bo Ryan made Wisconsin basketball.
I'd say Dick Bennett. I mean, like he was just as instrumental as Barry Alvarez was in the Purdue football or in the Wisconsin football program. I don't know. I also see somebody that when people weren't as happy with Coach Painter, one of the names that came up was Valpo's own Bryce Drew. I think that would be kind of a fun fit, but I don't see that happening.
I don't know.
But anyway, Wisconsin.
What's Valpo done, you know?
Oh, they're going to be good this year. I mean, they're making the tournament this year. They're one of the more impressive mid-major teams of the last couple of years.
Last year, too.
I think Valpo last year was really impressive. Right. I think Bryce Drew, that kind of a job would be really good for him. But anyway, Purdue plays a Wisconsin team that is a little bit in flux. I think they're not very talented, but they still have Cole, which is a real thing. And yet they're going 3-for-3. That's a damn impressive 3-for-3, if that can happen. I don't think that happens all in 1 week. I think that happens in two ranking weeks. So Purdue will be, Butler and Vandy are split by a pre-ranking. So the result of the Purdue Butler game will be factored into the next rankings. Do you think Purdue drops the Butler game?
I don't think Purdue drops the Butler game.
Why?
I think Purdue can do to Butler what they've done to other teams, which is just beat them with size and strength and then go on a second half run and put them away.
I think the big thing that Butler does is forces teams to play, like you said, it forces teams to play a structure that they're not necessarily, that they don't want to play. Butler likes to be spread out, but physical. It's that weird kind of undersized but physical physicality that they somehow have. Roosevelt Jones also might be a magician. I don't know.
He also might be an issue. I swear to God, he graduated.
He could be a seventh year. Yeah. Tyler Wideman, I think, is their largest, their biggest guy. He's
6'8".
I know. He's like a Charles Barkley 6'8".
Right.
He's 6'8", like Biggie's 6'8", or 6'9", or whatever. Biggie's listed at. Biggie's not 6'9".
Yeah, but Biggie's got length. Tyler Wideman's got energy. Like he's
got hips.
He's got hips. Hips for weeks.
I think Butler could get Purdue a little uncomfortable. Purdue has never played well in Conseco or in Banker's Life or whatever it's called in the field house. Do they have a Crossroads Classic win?
I don't think so, actually. Yeah, murdered by Notre Dame a couple years ago. That was fun to watch.
Yeah, that was last year, right?
Yes, it was. And
2 years ago was where Rafael Davis was reborn. If you remember, the last time before that we played Notre Dame was when Ray Davis kind of had his first breakout game. That was fun.
Yeah.
But Crossroads Classic memories. Do you have anything to say about Purdue being on Big Ten Network during all of these C, D, and F level bowls?
I don't know. I mean, like it's
it sucks. It is what it is, right?
It sucks, but it is what it is. And the fact of the matter is like ESPN is, it's a no-brainer for ESPN to pick up IU Notre Dame. It's a no-brainer. Like, why wouldn't they pick up that game? Because IU and Notre Dame have fans all over the country. It's got more national appeal than Butler Purdue.
Sure.
Butler is a nice story, and Purdue is like, oh my God, Purdue's rated in the top 10. I mean, like, it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
We just win the game, right? Let's not worry about that.
No, yeah. I was just wondering if you had it. It's an inconvenient time. It's during bowl season. We kind of got
gonna miss Star Wars for it.
I know exactly. I was worried about the Vandy game, and then we can talk about that. One of their centers is injured, and they match up a little less well with that. I just, for some reason, this Butler game, I feel like it will push Purdue outside of its comfort zone. They haven't done that yet this year. They haven't played while uncomfortable.
I don't know. Pitt was awfully uncomfortable there for a while.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, and then AJ kind of took over. That's a good point. I don't know. Butler gives me, I don't, somehow it's, they somehow pull wins out of their asses. And they do a good job of it. Chris Holtman is, they kind of fell backwards into the perfect guy for this era of Butler. I think Chris Holtman's going to do a great job, or is doing a great job. Butler, I don't think we're even having this conversation of is Butler a tourney team. They're a top 30 team, like top 20 team, top 20 team right now, top 30 team, like without a doubt. So this will be a tough win if Purdue can pull it off. Vandy, though, is one of the few teams in the country that's built almost exactly like Purdue is, except a little bit better on the perimeter, actually a lot better on the perimeter, and not as good inside.
They don't have a biggie, right?
They don't have a biggie. They don't have the equivalent of what Vince Edwards can do. That stretch four, that four position is different than them, but they do play a very NBA style, like one in, four out. And then you said that their backup center, the one that was injured, played or shot really well. Luke Kornet shot really well last year from three, right?
Yeah, last year. This year he's shooting under 20%. I mean, he's not playing in the game either way, but they like guys who can shoot, so...
And actually, he seemed all, I don't know, maybe this is just like somebody looking at Purdue and saying Haas seems like the better player than AJ Hammonds, but Kornet seems better than Damian Jones. And Damian Jones, I get it. He's got the hype. He's got the athleticism, but he doesn't really have basketball skills.
And for a guy who doesn't have basketball skills, he's putting up pretty good numbers.
Up really good numbers, and that's the value of being athletic and being surrounded by incredible shooters.
He put up 17 and 10 against Kansas. I think
you without Diallo.
Diallo, have you watched Diallo play? You're talking about how about Damian Jones not having basketball skills?
He's raw. He's very raw.
Yeah, he's raw. I think you need to give Jones some credit for what he's been able to do this year. I'm not saying that he's an All-American or anything, but he's played pretty well. He had one bad game against St. John's, a game that Vandy won by like 40. So every other game, I think the only one other game he scored less than 10 points. I'm looking at it. It was against Baylor. He had 9 points, but he also had 8 rebounds and 6 assists.
Counter that with Vandy has 7 players shooting above 40% from three.
What does that have to do with anything?
It's really nice to have space when you're a big man. Nice.
Sure. So, I mean, that argument can be made against Haas or Hammonds. Make it against Hammonds. You ride or die with Hammonds. Let's talk about how he's benefited from Purdue's improved outside shooting.
Look at Purdue's outside shooting. I don't think it's necessarily been improved. I think you have more targets, but I don't think that it's been – the percentages haven't been there. We'll talk about Kendall Stevens, but if you take the last 3 games, he's been really good. Like since the last time we talked, he's been really good. But overall this season, I think he's still shooting under 35%. Dakota Mathias has been having a Kendall Stevens like last season, kind of a typical sophomore slump, at least shooting the ball. He's still doing a good job distributing. Defensively, he's still a huge minus. And Ryan Klein looks like our best 3-point shooter, and he's a freshman, and he's a huge defensive liability.
So what Purdue has benefited from a shooting standpoint has been, if you look at each player, they are kind of on and off as far as they're not consistent game to game. But Purdue has enough guys who can shoot from Stevens, Edwards, Davis, PJ, Mathias, and Klein, that in a given game, at least two of those, however many I named, I think 5 guys, are going to shoot well enough to keep you in the game.
Davis has actually really impressed me, and with the 1 game, 2 games that he's been back, he's looked so comfortable with that corner three, like working in that same space that Basil Smotherman did, just that baseline, like back cuts, and even cutting out to the 3-point line, and he's just been so smooth from the corner. And that's a huge, like if Ray can expend minimal energy on the offensive end and just be a defensive menace while still hitting that corner three. I mean, that's an unbelievable thing he can give us. I'm looking at the we have a glut of mediocre 3-point shooters, by numbers, by
on average, on yeah. average. But each one of those guys, Klein, Stevens, and Mathias, can go through a stretch where they hit everything
for sure,
definitely. And they go through a stretch. Their highs are high and their lows are low and their average is mediocre.
Does that worry you at all? Is that a weakness?
That is overcome by numbers. If you have enough guys like that, chances are in a given game, you're going to get enough production on the perimeter to keep them honest. The problem with Purdue teams in previous years is that the options to shoot were really two guys maybe. Mm-hmm. And that's not enough. That was not enough.
It's a, yeah, if one guy's having a shooting slump, there's
you're
a three.
Screwed, right?
Yeah, and now we have a 3-point shooter sitting on the bench that Painter can wave over.
Multiple that we can pull off the bench.
Yeah. Is there anything else that kind of worries you about this? First of all, Vandy, I think with the two big men rotation, they were a lot bigger of a threat. I think with only one of their big men in and they're playing in Mackey, Purdue should take that one, but it's another, you know, it's a quality win for a reason, right? They tripped up recently, so I think they fell out of the top 25, but that's yeah. injuries will do that. I still think they'll finish probably top three in the SEC, in that top tier of the SEC. But are there any other like weaknesses that kind of worry you?
So the biggest weakness for me, okay, so one thing that does worry me against Butler, and I'll get to Vanderbilt in a second, about Butler is Purdue's leader in turnovers committed is?
A.J. Hammond?
Caleb Swanigan,
yeah.
Who has twice as many turnovers as the next guy.
You're right, yep.
So, and
each one's pretty excruciating to watch.
And the thing that bothers – that's worrisome about that is Butler has a bunch of guys who play tough and play big. They're small, fast, strong, and smart, right?
Man, Rose Jones against whoever he goes, either Vince Edwards or Caleb Swanigan. I mean, that's going to be a matchup right there.
So there's a potential of Swanigan having a really rough game against Butler. I mean, he's been playing a lot better lately, taking care of the ball, but that's still something that
I think Jones is every bit as good of a defender as Ray Davis is, but he's bigger. I think
he's got that old man game.
Exactly, he's a little bit less natural. Like he plays the passing lanes a little less, but both of them are so freaking smart. Ray Davis, a little more athletic. Rose Jones is stronger, significantly stronger.
He's lighter base.
Yeah.
6'4", 225.
Goodness.
He's a big boy.
I think he could body up either Vince or Biggie. And the problem is that I don't know if Biggie can punish somebody like that from the high post just yet. Somebody who plays him really physically. But doing it without necessarily his back to the basket the entire time. But okay, enough negativity about Biggie. Post to post passing with between him and Haas, like where they'll pass from one end of the key to the other, is just so awesome. Like, it's amazing. They have incredible chemistry. Like, yeah, those really two, it's so fun.
I think that's how if Swanigan sort of takes what is given and plays that game, he can have 10 assists, right? Like, mm-hmm. Because I don't care who – Weidman is their best post defender, and he cannot guard Haas or Hammonds.
No.
And Haas is so decisive this year, so strong, so much quicker than he was last year. That he can eat the big. It's I don't know which one of them is going to score 20 plus, but one of them is
AJ. You mean AJ or Haas?
AJ or Haas. Yeah.
And I think AJ feasts. I think AJ, I think Haas kind of softens, gets him ready, like kind of warms the seat.
Okay.
And AJ just like, he's showing no fear this year. And it's pretty awesome to watch. And he's doing it off the bench, which gives it a really interesting, flavor, I guess. It's a weird dynamic, right? Bringing your best player off the bench, or I get most talented player off the bench.
Most talented post.
Yeah. Sure. Haas, just, he's been so good, and I didn't expect it. I really didn't. I thought that he would take a huge step back, and I thought AJ would kind of fill that void, but Haas has been incredible, man.
Yeah.
And even defensively, he's getting blocks, which is one thing. You know, blocks and playing, being a good rim protector are two different things. He still struggles in help side defense, but he's showing that he's not going to be, you know, Brook Lopez. He's not going to be like Pekovic at the next level. Like he could actually be a big that isn't a defensive liability. An offensively minded big with like good enough defense. And that's huge. I mean, like that's a borderline lottery, but that's a first round pick. I don't know. I've been so impressed with Haas this year.
No, as you should be. He's been amazing. And the way his style has changed, as he's tweaked how he's approached his offense enough that I wouldn't expect too much of a slowdown when he gets to the Big Ten play. And if Purdue wants to make a deep tournament run, you know, it's really going to come down to him and Hammonds. And Hammonds seems 100% comfortable in the role of backup.
Oh, so, yeah. And completely, like, because the thing is, he finishes the game. And you hear people say that all the time. It doesn't matter who starts, but it's who finishes. And for some reason, it does matter who starts. Like, that, it matters to hear your name over the thing. It matters to, like, when you're there for the opening tip or taking the opening tip in Hammond's case. But he just doesn't, he's fine with it. And he closes the game. He's totally comfortable being Purdue's go-to weapon down the stretch. If Purdue needs a bucket, that's what we were talking about in the offseason. Who does Purdue go to if they need a bucket? Answer is AJ Hammonds, because he can get it to you. If it's not AJ, you're going through either Vince or Biggie to get to AJ, and one of those three will get you a bucket, like somehow. It's been great. It's been really great. Vince has disappointed me, and he's averaging 9 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, shooting 70% from the field.
So a couple of weeks ago, I said that I was a little disappointed in Vince Edwards, and I actually felt like a little guilty about that, because I looked at the stats later, and I was like, how can you feel disappointed in someone who's doing what he's doing? But I feel like there's a lot that he offers that he hasn't brought
to the table yet. I don't know if he needs to yet. And the problem is, when we need him this year, is he going to be able to just turn that switch? In the last game
against Cincinnati last year in the tournament,
against IUPUI. I mean, like, again, IUPUI, it was in the first half. But we saw aggressiveness. We saw an aggressiveness that I wish he brought every game. These glimpses of, instead of looking for the pass first, you have an open lane, or you have one slower guy or less athletic guy standing between you and the basket in the fast break. Just take it to the hoop. Like, you're so much better than 90% of the people that are trying to guard you. Just take it. The problem is, the talent's there, and we know that it's there, and it's just an adjustment for him to figure out when to be selfish and when not to. Is there anybody we haven't touched on yet? Kendall Stevens has been a Purdue's best defender. I don't know what's going on.
Wait, what?
In the last 2 weeks, he's been Purdue's best wing defender. I think it's between, because Davis has been out, and he's been a little, like, when he's come back, he's been a little rusty. It's been between him and Johnny Hill. and he'll disappears. No, I disagree. I think Kendall Stevens has been, and maybe it's just the difference between last year and this year. But after that Pitt game, like since that Pitt game, he's been just so energetic on defense. He's so long. He's really smart. I think he's been
improved a lot since last year. Me personally, I think a lot of that sticks out because last year he was so disinterested in playing.
I think he's better than Vince. I think Vince's defense leaves a lot to be desired. I think Kendall's better than Vince defensively right now, or at least playing.
Vince does not have lateral quickness to guard guys out on the perimeter, especially guys who can dribble. And Kendall Stevens isn't, you know, super, you know, Chris Kramer fast laterally, but mm-hmm. he's got super long arms,
mm-hmm.
and that physical advantage is enough most of the time to compensate. I don't know. I think they both played pretty well. I've been really happy with how Johnny Hill has played such good bite-him-up defense.
I think we were a little hard on him the last time we talked. He's been – I mean, like, it's just the new, you know, new system. You're joining a new team. I think he's been really good.
I'm actually, to be quite honest, I'm very happy so far with everyone who's played. I mean, Dakota Mathias is having kind of a rough time lately, but he hit some big shots earlier in the season.
I mean, it says something when Dakota Mathias is your worst player, right? Or worst rotation player. And he's damn good. Like, he's a very, very good player.
I wouldn't say he's the worst. But.
Yeah. The worst rotation player? Like, Klein, maybe. But then again, you're running into the same thing. He's a dead-eye shooter.
He's such... The problem with Klein is that his defense is really bad, and it's not because it's a lack of effort. You see him out there trying, and he's a year or two away from being able to really
awareness. Zone. Yeah, it's awareness.
There's an awareness thing. He gets beat on back cuts all the time,
people are fast. You're playing
freshman. Yeah, he probably isn't. He's never had defensive responsibilities in this magnitude before.
That's true.
But I think when you get to the point where you're complaining that your freshman shooting specialist isn't
a defensive ace,
isn't like a defensive ace, then maybe things are just going really well.
Is Purdue's defense as good as the stats say? So
no, come on.
So the Purdue is leading the country in opponent's shooting percentage, 33%. Number two is Oklahoma, who is ranked very high. Louisville is there, and Michigan State is right there as well. Why are the numbers – I mean, I agree with you. Purdue's defense isn't as good as that. But why do you think the numbers kind of say – is it just competition?
I think the numbers reflect the fact that it is really hard to score on Purdue within 8 feet of the basket. And yeah. that is not an aberration. That's not – you know, something that the stats are lying about. It is really hard to score inside against Purdue for anyone. And it's mm-hmm. that I don't think that is going to stop. I think that'll continue. And that sort of pulls down the rest of the average, I guess, if you want to talk about overall defense. Because out on the perimeter, I still think Purdue has some struggles. And I think guys like Vince and Biggie still get beat off the dribble sometimes. But I actually think last year's defense, or at least the February version of last year's defense, is better than this year's. But
I agree. Purdue's opponent 2-point percentage is number one in the country, 36%, which is, yeah, that's insane. 3-point percentage, still very impressive, 27.5%, good for 16th. 16th best in the country.
That's really good. I mean, maybe we're grading on a curve here.
It just doesn't look like it, right? Like, Biggie looks really slow defensively. He still bugs some shots, but he's got times where he is just completely clueless defensively. Again, it's the freshman thing. Defense is usually the last thing to come. AJ, we were kind of spoiled because AJ was a good defender from almost the minute he came to campus. But and the wings haven't been great. I mean, I know Kendall, but Kendall's been good. Ray Davis has been out. Like, I don't know how this is happening. That's the thing. I feel like we can still play so much better. Like, I think there is room for Purdue to be really, really good. Which is why I'm still so skeptical that we're, you know, the ninth best team in the country, which is fun.
This is a chance to prove. Well, okay, so let's talk expectations. In terms of NCAA seeding,
mm-hmm.
top three seed?
I would like to be a three seed, yeah.
Well, okay, I would like to be undefeated in the number one seed.
What's yeah.
most likely for this Purdue team?
I think being on the three line would be really nice. I think the two is possible. I don't think Purdue can grab a one, and that's fine. But
I think the non-conference will preclude Purdue unless they just run ridiculous through the conference, like,
but even the conference is super weak. I mean, like, the Iowa is probably the fourth best team in the Big Ten.
I think Indiana is still the fourth best.
Yeah, team. All right. Yeah. You're right. Indiana is, regardless of their record, Indiana's a dangerous team. I'd like to be on that three line. That realistically, okay. to be somewhere between the ninth and the 12th best team in the country going into the tournament, you've got a chance. And looking at it, the three line is a really nice place to be.
Yes.
Like, just for a deep tournament run. So I,
unless you're Georgetown, then that's a terrible place to be.
Unless you're Georgetown, yeah. Dowd would have me mention Gonzaga at this point, but I like Gonzaga.
So what? Okay. So how is it unreasonable to say that this is a Purdue team that could make a Final Four? Not no. will. But could do? Are they? Does their talent stack up to other elite teams to the point where, if the chips fall right, they could make it to a Final Four?
Yes, we can make it to a Final Four. This team can make it to a Final Four, and there's a lot of. I mean, like, I started this conversation like right when Biggie got here. Is this team better than that 2010 team? Right. No, everything no. is measured to. That's the thing. The 2010 team, the ceiling was so much higher.
Yeah.
And the ceiling was best team in the country, right? Or like a clear one.
National champion. That was that team's ceiling.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the difference. Like, being, we would have been happy with the Final Four, but it would have still been like, we could have had that national title. I don't.
This team was killing. Oh yeah, that was a good team.
So that's. I don't feel that way this year. I would be ecstatic if this team made a Final Four, and that's the thing. This is kind of probably Painter's best shot too. Like, you can sustain injuries. You can. I don't think an injury to any one player kills us. I think that. This is a bad year. Like, we've gone over this. I think this is just a bad year in college basketball in terms of elite mm-hmm. talent. So I think it's the path is there for us. But yeah, I don't know. This seems like so much less of a exciting's not the word, but like electrifying team. Like, it's not one of the electrifying teams, but it could absolutely make a Final Four. Yeah, go ahead.
The thing that makes this team, I think, Final Four worthy is that they have a definite. They have a
background
definite,
noise.
Some background noise. It's bedtime. They've got a definite strength that no one else in the country can match.
For sure, I agree, and that's fun. I think. Yeah, so in terms of expectations, I think we go into the Big Ten schedule with one loss. And I don't think that's bad. I wouldn't be unhappy if we lost one of the next two games. I think it depends on the method. Both. Yeah, that's where you get into it, right? Like, if we lose both, we really have to get a little deeper into the conversation of whether a lot of this is smoke and mirrors. Not smoke and mirrors, meaning like right now being the ninth best team. We've kind of identified a lot of flaws, and I'm sure Coach Painter knows this. I mean, like, I'm sure that the coaching staff knows all of these flaws and more. But it's interesting. Yeah. If we lose both, I would be very upset. Yeah. I wouldn't be happy. But I don't think we do. I don't think that that's, I don't think that happens.
It feels good to be optimistic.
Yeah. And not even, it feels good to not feel like you're being optimistic when you say that, right? Like it feels realistic.
This is a genuine optimism, not Purdue football optimism.
Not Kevin Sumlin optimism.
You don't want that anymore since they shut the program down.
That's true. Man, pity.
Pity. Pity. Oh, well.
At least now we can expand Ross Aid to where Mackey once stood.
Sure.
That seems like good. Why not?
We can conduct concerts in the football stadium or something. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. In New Slater Hill.
Yeah. I'll always have positive memories of back when Purdue had a football team.
Catharsis.
Oh, it's not catharsis because you don't feel better afterward.
No, I don't. I feel better because Purdue basketball is going to play this weekend. Yeah. So what's your prediction for the next two?
I'm going to say beat Butler, lose to Vandy.
I think I'll flip that. Yeah. I think we'll drop one.
But secretly, I'm hoping what Purdue got me for Christmas was an undefeated non-conference season.
I know. That'd be so fun. Even beating Butler, we'd probably be 7th, 6th.
I know. We're
like on Monday.
I mean, it's great to hear you say that because I always have you pegged as a reversible jacket Butler Purdue fan.
How dare you? How dare you? This this matchup tears my family apart. my mom, like Purdue grad, and worked at Butler for the last 25 years.
Not much of a connection.
Yeah. And so she's complete. When Butler plays Purdue, she completely abandons her Purdue connections and like capes for Butler, like totally. So yes, this tears families apart.
It's all good. This matchup does. The IU Notre Dame matchup has zero effect on. I mean, there's probably some mental gymnastics that.
I mean, in terms of like whether like method of destruction of the stadium while both teams play, is that what you're talking about?
Well, I'm just talking about like the only problem with IU playing Notre Dame is deciding which team you're going to root for that day.
Man, I don't know. I kind of want IU to get better, and then I want to kill him. I think that's what I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for IU to start winning again, and then I want Purdue to just destroy him.
I don't really care about IU. I don't know. I don't put a lot of mental energy behind hating them when Purdue isn't playing them. But
it's sad. I want IU to be good. Like it's more basketball's more fun when Purdue and IU. It's more fun to me. Like it's fun to have a measuring stick.
Like it's friggin' Dick Vitale talking about how college basketball is better when
College basketball is not better. It is personally better for me when IU and Purdue, like when you can talk shit about like being the best team in the state and kind of a thing.
You know, you want to get to the point. Okay. Let me put it this way. Ohio State doesn't talk shit to Ohio University.
No, but they don't.
About being the best team in the state.
Yeah, that's kind of an unfair one.
I don't know. That's what I would rather be in that situation.
We're not.
I'd rather there be no doubt.
Indiana isn't Ohio. Indiana is like North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Like the state of, just with the amount of really good basketball that's being played. I don't know. I really like when the state of Indiana puts out really good basketball.
I could care less.
No. It's because you're out west. You don't care. You don't know. You don't matter.
I grew up.
You don't matter.
Back in Indiana.
You don't matter.
I'm out west. Where are you? Are you recording from Carmel? Or are you?
Hey, I'm in the Midwest, baby.
Several hundred.
I mean, I'm firmly – Pittsburgh is Midwest. Pittsburgh is where the Midwest ends, yes. You come here and explain to these cheese-eating people that this is in the Midwest.
These cheese-eating bearded bastards.
I know, and I'm one of them. But, yeah, I'm happy. Generally happy.
Wow.
Like
I'm happy you're happy.
I think, yeah, scale of 1 to 10, like 7.5, 8. I think that's
7.5. I'm at a 9.
Nah, not yet. Jeez, wait, once we sweep Butler and Vandy, then I'll be that'll be 9.
You can always tell when people are excited when they pull out the Wii too. Like, we are going to beat Butler this weekend.
I try.
You're not going to do anything. You're going to miss the second half of the game. Like, what is this?
That's right. Justin got me on this, like, you can't say we. I try, but I say we. I can't.
Matt Painter doesn't know you exist.
Yeah, no.
There's no we.
No, there's no we. I'd say 13-0. 12-1, 13-0, non-conference. That would be fun.
That would be fun. Well, thanks, everyone. Thanks, Mom, for listening and watching to the Purdue Basketball Beat.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Mike's mom. Thank you so much.
You threw me for a second because there's no way in hell anyone would ever sponsor this podcast.
hey, listen, we're taking donations.
You're taking donations.
But thank you. Thank you, guys.